but he's gonna be about animal cruelty. He's a man, he's a treasure trove, but tell me, what is your name?
I'm MC Rose.
That's right, he can't be beat because he's so white from his head to his feet. But he will rap it when you give him a chance. Look at him move, doing a rapping dance.
I'm posting this on my blog as we speak, the video for this. It's safe for work, but seriously, if you've got eyes or ears, they'll never be the same.
Tell me, what is your name?
MC Rose.
That's true. He's popping his arms. He's rapping and he's chilling and he's showing his job.
I just have to hear this final one at the end where he goes all girly for no reason.
MC Rose, doing it right and he really strove. One more time, what's your name?
MC Rose.
Give it up for MC Rose in the house.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So that means we have to play the thing that the president did there last night. Apparently, he tried his hand at stand-up.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, kind of. He was telling lighthearted jokes, so let's find out what he has to say about this.
Well, where should I start? A year ago, my approval rating was in the 30s. My nominee for the Supreme Court had just withdrawn.
I don't get it. Oh, it's trying to. Is there something?
He's trying to increase the volume. It doesn't get very loud.
Okay. Is there some? Is the joke need setup? Maybe. That's a weak punchline. I don't understand what's happening. He's just standing there shaking his head now. Oh, here we go. Okay. Give me a sec. Okay. Let's try this again.
All right.
Here we go.
My approval rating was in the 30s. My nominee for the Supreme Court had just withdrawn. And my vice president has shot someone.
He was told to wait for response. Does somebody know that's not an actual joke?
Ah, those were the good old days.
Oh. Well, that's certainly worth it. There's more.
Fantastic.
No matter how tough it gets, however, I have no intention of becoming a lame duck president.
Because Carl Robert shoot
you. Of course, Cheney accidentally shoots me in the leg.
Oh, sorry, Cheney. Yeah, see how I...
You had it, though.
I had it.
Hey, I have 664 days left in the White House. So technically, I'm a temporary guest worker.
I'm considering what's next.
President Clinton, of course, wrote a very successful presidential memoirs with 10,000 pages or something. I'm thinking of something really fun and creative for mine. You know, maybe a pop-up book. Consider a number of titles. Which do you like? How W got his groove back?
Oh, come on. Are you what? Are you serious with this?
Presidency? What Tuesdays with Cheney?
I don't even understand these jokes. These jokes
How
are...
this?
These, well, thank you and good night. These jokes... The shrimp bar is over there. These jokes are either really, really good or they're really, really, really bad. But either way, I can't get them.
I think they're kind of funny, but it disturbs me how much he just doesn't get... He doesn't care.
Now you can see your favorite CBS shows.
What's happening?
Something took over Tim's computer.
All right. Yeah, your favorite CBS shows. Tim, your computer makes a lot of random noises during the show.
I don't know what to do about it, really.
I'm glad it's working. Fantastic.
That's not at the most opportune times.
The thing about Bush, that thing about the one funny line there was, blah, 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 and my vice president had shot somebody. That's funny. That's the one legitimately funny line in the whole thing, but his delivery just completely muffs it.
No, see, I like how he was actually playing upon how retarded he is. He's like, he did some 10,000 pages. I'm not going to be a pop-up book.
Because I can't read. Because I'm a functional illiterate. Kristen, see, you know, the key to succeeding in comedy is knowing how to turn a finely absurd phrase. Such as Kristen Bowie just typed on the screen. I think his head is filled with mud. I don't know why that's so funny. I think his head is filled with mud. It's entirely possible. So there you go. Lester, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Hey, got an idea for your listener party.
Okay.
It would be Emerson 007, License to Kill.
Here's the thing. That makes no sense.
2007, 007?
Ah.
Well, I might think of something like that.
I see. Now it makes sense. It's,
just obscure.
Yeah, obscure.
It's like they took a sentence, and you just took out one of the words and replaced the other one with Emerson.
Seriously, I don't really know that a slogan that requires exposition in the next two or three lines on the back of the shirt is maybe the best choice, but I give you props for ambition, sir.
Hey, well, you know, you got to try.
No, that is true. Oh. That is the American attitude, my friend. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
That's Lester. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, back to more serious pursuits. The president talked about when the Senate approved a bill today containing about $100 billion the president requested for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, this device will not play. One moment, please. Right now. This device still won't play.
Can we hear more about CBS's programming?
Can I hear more? Hold on.
Hang on. Thank you. There we go. Okay. And now we return to regular programming already in progress.
We got commanders making tough decisions on the ground. We expect there to be no strings on our commanders.
Matt? He vowed to reject a bill containing timetables for troop withdrawals.
I'll veto a bill that restricts our commanders on the ground in Iraq, a bill that doesn't fund our troops, a bill that's got too much spending on it.
Meanwhile, the new press lady, Dana Perino, characterized the Democrats' plans as calls for the U.S. to abandon the Iraqi people and declare America surrender.
This is the bill for our defeat. This is the bill that mandates our failure.
We
start walking away in 120 days, and what does that do for the Iraqis that we promised we'll be there and we'll be able to help them secure their...
Well, they didn't believe that to begin with.
It keeps our troops alive, for one thing.
Seriously. That's all that's important. It keeps people from being shot in the face. And secondly, who really seriously thinks the Iraqis believed us when we said that we're going to come over and we're going to spread democracy and your country's going to be better when we're done bombing? When has that ever been the case?
But they weren't given a voice in that.
No.
We just kind of showed up one day. And they furled banners and we collapsed the statue and we moved in for a close-up. There were only three people standing there.
I think we should do that. I think we should just go pick somebody's house, kick the door in, hang a banner inside, shoot everybody, sit there for a while, set fire to it, and then leave. And just say that we were there just spreading freedom and peace and Starbucks. The Iraqis clearly never believed us anyway. I mean, every day we come into your country. I mean, all of the president's proclamations ought to come with just implied rim shots. Do you know what I mean? We're coming to your country. We're gonna spread peace and democracy, and we won't leave you in a big pile of rubble. Thank you. And the Iraqis are sort of, I'm going to go hide my goat in a cave now. That's it, man. So, you know, the other thing I was talking to Laura about this last night is that, you know, it's just something in the American psyche, I think, although fewer and fewer people are afflicted with this, we just can't handle the idea that we didn't win something. That's the thing, and I'm not trying to knock it. I understand. No one likes to lose. No one likes to... Nobody likes to admit that you've tried something and have failed at it. Nobody especially...
It's very un-American.
It is, and nobody relishes the idea, because we're what? We're 10-1 now? 11-1?
Yeah.
What is it Bill Murray said in Stripes? We were 10-1 then. So if you count Grenada and... whatever, the first Gulf War, so we were 12-1.
Mm.
Now we'll be 12-2. I mean, not a bad average, all in all.
No.
I'm just saying that's 6 wins for every loss. I mean, that's but there are countries that never win anything. This just isn't going to be one of the things we won, that's all. And you know why? It's because of Vietnam. Vietnam is just such a singular American experience. Not like I was alive during Vietnam, but I mean, that's even more to the point.
You were alive during Vietnam?
A little bit. When
did
we leave? 74?
Yeah.
75?
Yeah, it was 74. And they kept it quiet when we did it. They show the picture of the helicopter. Nobody mentioned it.
The one guy hanging. Well, because I'm an idiot American, that's all I really know about Vietnam. Like, if you were to open my head and vacuum out all the knowledge I had about Vietnam and then look at it, in my head, everybody left Vietnam on that one helicopter.
Right.
From the roof of the Saigon.
And people were listening to Barry Manilow songs and paid no attention to what was going on.
Totally. People are busy playing Kiss Alive and staring at black light.
I think
posters.
The original Kung Fu fighting came out of all this.
But Vietnam has the phrase
they've
Vietnam.
They've done well without us over there.
It has come to symbolize an abject and total failure. Just like everybody says, well, this is going to be another Watergate, because the word Watergate has come to symbolize a certain kind of political scandal. The word Vietnam has come to symbolize just a complete and abject military debacle. And we just, like, nobody ever says, well, we don't want this to turn into another Grenada. You know, nobody ever says, we don't want this to turn into, we don't want this to turn into another Battle of Anzio. Everybody says we don't want this to become another Vietnam, because Vietnam is crystallizes everything the American, and I really hate to put it this way, but the American masculine psyche cannot accept or rationalize. And that's exactly what this is.
And they did much better after we left. And now Americans are growing back, because all the Vietnamese who came here, who were hanging on those helicopters, they opened up all these nail salons in Southern California, became millionaires. Now they're going back to put all that nail money back into that country.
Entire country's economy predicated on the Lee press on nails.
Yes.
All right. You know, all manicurists. I have a friend of mine, actually, who just went on vacation. Why would you vacation? Isn't that a Dead Kennedy song about holidaying in Cambodia? I have a friend of mine who just went on vacation in Vietnam, which is bizarre. But she went on this tour.
It's a nice country with all dead bodies hanging around. I'm sure it's been cleaned up. That was over 30 years ago.
Without the
like corpses lying on the beaches.
Without the landmines and gassing from helicopters.
Yeah.
But she went on this tour, and she says the weirdest thing where when you take a tour in Vietnam, the guy, and they constantly refer to the Americans as, like, invaders. That's what the tour guide says. Hmm. Well, what happened to this building? Well, this is a memorial to a building that was blown up by the invaders in 1972, which is, I guess, just what we're referred to as. All right. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I got one for your listener party.
Yes, sir.
Rick Emerson, listener party, can snakes in a barracuda.
Okay, we're really at the bottom of the barrel. No offense. No, it's fine. It's funny. It's funny because it just makes no sense at all. Snakes.
Yeah, it's pretty much like having it on a Thursday for all of us who have to work on Friday.
Hey, you know,
I am you, Rick Emerson.
You know, we have to work on Friday, pal. Let's not cry ourselves a river, okay? We have to be here. I have to sit in a chair for 4 whole hours on Friday.
Yeah, but you're funny talking about it, and all I have to do is dream about having missed it.
Now, we do it on Thursday. The reason we do this, actually, we do it on a Thursday. We started this a long time ago. People ask us why we do it on a Thursday. There's two reasons. A is so wherever we do it, you don't have to contend with the usual gang of nitwits that would probably be there. And B, you know, a bunch of women coming out to freak dance or whatever it is the young people do now. And B, because we want to be able to recap it the next day. And C, because I think the audience takes a particular kind of perverse delight in hearing how I am completely and totally unable to speak the next day. So there's always that, my friend.
Yes, I know. I'm with you, but I drive a truck, and you don't have to be sober, so. I'll wait until you have it back at the another Friday.
Thank you, sir. So they make chemicals for, I thought. This is Todd. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
All hail the beautiful Sarah.
Yes.
Hey, I've got a listener party surefire hit.
Okay.
Rick Emerson, listener party 10, placentas aplenty.
All right, wasn't the placenta last time? And really, are there going to be...
I don't want to revisit that. I don't want to bring it back.
And isn't it... And this would
so
be
gross.
False advertising anyway.
Remember when the placenta was leaking?
I do remember the leaking placenta.
Yeah, but leaky placenta doesn't really rhyme with anything. So, and it's just, you know...
Placenta? I barely knew her. That was a stretch. There really isn't anything that rhymes with placenta. Nothing rhymes with orange.
Point taken. Well, I had to throw it out because it was been rattling around in my brain for the last hour, so I thought I'd share.
Excellent. Placentas aplenty. Were you at the last one of these we did last year at this time at Sabalas?
Absolutely, man.
Do you remember the placenta on stage?
Oh, it's been etched into my brain for all eternity.
You know, the thing about that placenta is it was heavy. You wouldn't really think of placenta. For some reason, I thought of a placenta as being sort of a wispy thing, like cotton candy. Not so much like a big piece of liver, which is sort of what it's called.
The whole Tupperware thing that you brought out was really something special.
And it was
in the plastic
bag. Biohazard container. That's the best part of all. All right. Thank you, Todd.
Later.
There you go. That's Todd. Placenta's aplenty. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So getting back to this new spokeslady, Dana Perino, she says the bills passed by the Democrats call for the withdrawal of troops within a few months.
The Senate bill is that it calls for troops to start withdrawing in 120 days, with the goal being out of March of 2008, and I think the president sees that as an arbitrary timetable.
That's right, lady. That's why all these people are elected. Meanwhile, Dana Perino said the Department of Defense is now forced to borrow money from other departments. People will suffer.
In order to meet the force protection needs of the Marine Corps and the Army, we are borrowing funds from other important Marine and Army procurement programs. This reprogramming of funds is only necessary because Congress has failed to act in a timely manner on the President's emergency funding request.
They're going to a consolidation loan place.
Some of those black projects will, well, they'll have to be
the other some other time.
They're having to sign like a title loan form, and one or the other. The Department of Agriculture is charging the 28% interest.
No more back engineering for those UFOs.
By the way, patient.
She's obviously just a. She totally sees people next Tuesday. She obviously, but I will say this: what is her name? Dana Perino.
Yes.
All right. She is hot, though. I mean, relatively speaking, relative to what the average government employee looks like, and, you know, I'm thinking of you people of the DMV, she's pretty damn attractive. I can't conjure up in my head exactly what she looks like. I just remember seeing her on the television and thinking to myself that she was a damn... She's no Dee Dee Myers. Dee Dee Myers was hot to me, just because Dee Dee Myers, I don't know, because she was... And you got the feeling Dee Dee Myers was drunk about half the time, too, so that was kind of hot. But Dana Perino's not a bad-looking woman.
Meanwhile, yes, the Senate approved that war funding bill that contains timelines. Democrat Barack Obama called for the vote.
The bill as amended has passed. The ayes are 51. The nays are 47.
How was that? I don't even know what we were voting on there. What was that?
More war spending.
Okay.
What else do we vote on?
Wars, killing.
Meanwhile,
that's in the news.
Yeah. All right. Could things be any worse for George W. Bush and his party? In the new time poll, the president's job approval rating wallows at the all-time low of 33%, while his disapproval rating breaks the 60% barrier from the third consecutive survey. In Iraq, meanwhile, just 38% think the U.S. was right to invade, and only 37% believe the new Iraqi government, whatever that might be, will be able to be stable and reasonably democratic.
It's an orange crate. It's an orange crate with some fringe around it.
And a fax machine.
Totally. And a guy with a calling card. That's it. Guy with a prepaid phone card and a sash. That's it. Welcome to your Iraqi government. I'm sorry. I know that people think we don't treat things with the proper respect, but the whole thing is just so goddamn absurd. Really, what are you supposed to do? How are we possibly supposed to take this war seriously? Jesus. I think somebody sent me something exciting. Wait, hold on a second. Oh, where did I put it? It was just here. Wait. Let's see, what was that guy's name? Lester. Lester?
I barely knew her.
Okay.
That's kind of scary.
A guy named Gecko. Gecko sent that to me. All right, there you go. Fantastic.
All right. Do it again.
No, I gotta wait.
Okay.
I can't force it, Sarah. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, in a new Time magazine poll, Hillary Clinton loses to John McCain, 42 to 48%, and to Rudy Giuliani, even worse, 41% compared to 50%. So that's that.
Wait, and who is this?
Time magazine.
You know who was on the, it was Dick Morris, whose name I constantly invoke on the show. Dick Morris, Dick Morris and his relationship with the Clintons, and maybe only I and Lisa Goddard care about this, but Dick Morris has this weird, long, tangled relationship with the Clintons. I think Sarah has that whole thing about Larry Birkhead and what's-his-guts, Howard K. Stern having a torrid affair.
No, I wish I came up with that. I can't take credit for it. Seamus came up with that. But I believe it to be true.
I think there's a whole thing with Dick Morris and Bill Clinton, because Dick Morris was Bill Clinton's advisor for the longest time, steered him right, helped shape his presidency, helped mold his policy in many ways. But the guy has just got the biggest axe to grind for Hillary Clinton. He just loathes Hillary Clinton. I mean, he worked for her husband, and I suspect continued to advise her husband long after he had officially resigned or been fired from that capacity. But the guy clearly just loathes Hillary Clinton with everything in his body. But even he was on Miller yesterday, and he was talking about this. Dick Morris himself believes that Hillary Clinton would crush right now any Republican candidate. And his belief is, which I believe to be true, that all, and he's painting with a broad brush here, but the example he gave is that all he thinks is that all it takes is for Oprah to get on television. Oprah, who holds sway over millions and millions of women whose thoughts she can mold with one of her hands. All it takes is for Oprah to get on television and say, there is a woman running for president. You must vote for her tomorrow. Do it now. And that's it, man. And that's like 10 million votes. Right there. That's enough to swing an election. I mean, people lose an election by 3 or 4 million votes right now. Oprah could get on television right now and get 25% of her audience who probably never voted in their lives, or at least wouldn't vote anyway, to vote for a female president. And Hillary Clinton would be in like Flynn. So you write down the day and time that I said that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
What time was that?
It was 12:25 on today, Thursday.
Sad but true, Chris Sly will not be the next American Idol. He was given the boot in last night's Illumination episode on the Fox television program.
Yeah, I think you could tell on my face I knew. I had called my wife about 1:30 yesterday afternoon, and said, just be prepared, I'm going home. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I just knew it.
And, of course, in keeping with tradition, once they boot you off, they make you sing one more time.
Sing through your tears, monkey boy.
That's pretty mean of them.
You know, because you know that's what they're hoping for. You know that they're hoping that somebody with every little baby does. Yeah, the wind beneath. You know, that's exactly what they're hoping for. Like when that idiot girl was crying. It appalls me that even I don't even watch the goddamn show. I've watched it once in my life, but even I, this is how insidious the modern media is, and we are glad to be part of that insidiousness. I don't even watch American Idol. And yet I know all about this Sanjaya idiot, or whatever the hell his name is.
I know. Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah.
And his stupid little mohawk, or whatever he did the other day.
Kirsten, do you watch American Idol? I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm merely asking because I think I know Scotty J does. I don't think she's there. There's no one typing back. Hello, I'm...
Maybe she's having lunch.
Talking to myself.
Maybe she's trying to pick up a phone call now and have that fast, busy tone going.
Oh, let's see. Hi, Scott. All right. Scott?
How's it going, Rick?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I got a name for your listener party.
Okay.
And it's, you know, probably obvious. You may have heard it already. Rick Emerson Listener Party X. For 10.
What? Oh, I see. So X, so we just call it X.
Yeah.
All right, like a party called X or a day. Does it quite have a day called X? We
yeah.
don't always have the party called X. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, a party called X. All right, excellent. All right, well, I'll write it down.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. I'm not really writing it down. It's 503.
Oh, he's trying. That's better than we could do.
It's true. Cause
have we given any suggestions?
No, we're just retarded. All right, so this is, so that guy got voted off. Do we have more American Idol cuts?
No.
Okay. All I know is the Sanjaya guy got to stay. And it's become one of those things. And, you know, he's really not that bad. We made that point. I didn't know he's from Seattle, though. So there is
no way.
There is a Northwest connection with this young man. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Anyway, we're talking about taking coffee pills yesterday on that television program.
Caffeine pills.
Girl.
What with the Saved by the Bell and the Hey Hey?
Well, apparently caffeine could have killed Anna Nicole Smith, so that could have been the scene out of her life. One theory being floated around is that Anna drank so much soda, which interacted with her Cipro, causing severe insomnia, and it led her to overdose on chloral hydrate, her eventual downfall. The theory is posted on Fox News. Well, I guess we can throw this theory away now.
The theory fabricated by Fox News. Let's take a break. We'll come back more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Your phone calls around the corner. Later on, we have the top five, Steve Castamom, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Pills. You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Yes, give me those.
I need them back.
Just see. Just see. Can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can.
I just hung up on him, too.
Your uncle?
I hope you're happy.
Yeah, I am. That warms my heart.
He's been trying to find you for 20 years.
You know what? He actually... I don't have his phone number in my phone, and he's called me a bunch of times. I'm just realizing that now.
He was probably calling from inside a car that was trapped underneath something on fire, and you were his last thought.
I can't feel my legs anymore.
You guys are terrible people.
I only wish to speak to Sarah before I go. I regret nothing.
All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let's see. I can't do that story. I can't do this story.
Are they all about uncles?
Well, no, they're all about pleasant. Oh, let's talk about Bono.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Bono became a knight of the British Empire. Just don't call him sir. You have permission to call me anything you want except sir. All right. Lord of Lords, your demigodness? That'll do, said Bono. He's 46, telling reporters he was crowned a knight commander of the most excellent order of the British Empire in a jokey informal ceremony in the Dublin home of British Ambassador David Redaway. And Redaway paid tribute to Bono's work as a savvy campaigner against poverty and disease in Africa, which never worked.
No, no, and nothing is ever cured by that.
No.
None of those things ever solve any of those problems. No one is ever fed by anything. No one is ever... nothing, no race. Here's a little thing. Anytime you're sending money, anytime you're buying a CD, seeing a concert, joining a band, ordering a movie, watching something on pay-per-view, or being asked to jog anywhere, you are never going to solve or cure anything. Ever.
The only thing that helps is the public standing of the celebrity who's behind it.
That's all. That's all it is. It's just like that live. What was it? Just like a year and a half ago, there was that Bob Geldof Live 8. Or whatever the hell that was.
Mm-hmm.
What was? I don't even remember what that was supposed to be curing.
It doesn't matter. Had a little publicity.
I guess that is. It's a benefit to be curing Bob Geldof's regrettable lack of public image over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should I be...
His first name used to be humanitarian, but I guess...
Saint Bob is what they... I remember that him being referred to as that. And then Bono... The best and worst thing about Bono is... When he says that you can call me Lord of Lords if you'd like, that you know that he's equal parts kidding and completely serious. Let's, Amy.
Amy!
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I got a name for you. Don't be insulted, though.
For me?
For your party.
For me personally, or?
No, for your party.
Okay.
Don't be insulted, though. It's meant funny.
Uh-huh.
Listener Party 10, prepubescence. Come on, that's funny!
To whom? To whom? Who are these people to whom it's funny? I want names. I want lists now. Are you implying that the Rick Emerson audience treads water in a sea of retarded sexuality?
A little bit.
Okay, well, okay, then there you go. Well, then...
At least she's on it.
It may not be funny, but it is accurate. I will give you that. Excellent.
It's funny.
No, well... A panel of judges might not necessarily concur, but it is eerily precise. I will give you that. All right. Thank you, Amy.
Hi.
All right, there you go. That's Amy. All right, there you go. Bonnie.
Love, the language of love.
Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, got a name for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think this covers about everything. Then plus 10, a night called X.
Then plus 10?
Yep.
Oh, I see. Though it's kind of like the one that was the guy who was saying 10 and now. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Listen to the listener for the X, 10 and now. A night called X. All right. A night called X. The thing is, when you said that, like, I was picturing night with a K.
Oh, right.
And then he was some sort of a superhero who rides through Gotham. All right. Night called X. All right. Thank you, my friend.
And I think you need to have Scotty J at the door. And for people to get in, they have to beat him in a spelling bee.
They have to what?
get the tournament of spelling bee.
Everybody gets everybody.
I was actually thinking about just having some sort of an event where he would just wear, like, some sort of protective garment and everybody could just come up and give him a good kick in the junk.
Yeah, there you go.
And it would just be Sister Barty 10. Get in the line and take turns kicking Scotty in the balls. So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Hey, this is Jay. We'll be the first in line for that.
You know, I heard what you said, and so did Sarah, and that was the funniest thing ever, and your mic was off. Would you like to reenact that moment? Hold on. Let's reenact this moment.
We have, like, a harp playing to take us back to time.
How does your microphone get turned off? You don't... It's nowhere near, like, an elbow or anything.
It is near an elbow.
You'd really have to contort yourself, like Cirque du Soleil style, to get for your elbow to turn that mic off.
I suppose so.
This is like one of those things where you walk underneath a street light and it goes out sometimes, and you're never really sure why it happens. I'm going to train some sort of a, like a poltergeist, like a spook cam on your camera so that we can catch it in, or on your button so we can catch it in action when it turns itself off.
Maybe a night vision type of thing.
Yes. All right. So this is, that guy said something about Scotty, and I said, Listener Party 10, get us line and take turns kicking Scotty in the balls.
Mrs. J would probably be the first in line.
Now you can't go home again, can you? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a new policy would soon, bar Marines from getting large tats on their lower arms and legs. I'm trying to be relatable. Large sleeve tattoos will be prohibited as of April 1st, April Fool's Day. Half sleeve or quarter sleeve tattoos that are visible to the eye when wearing T-shirts and shorts are included. This is ridiculous. Gary Crisp, who's thinking of joining the Marines, says anyone who has an issue with the rules doesn't have to join them at 50.
When you join the Marine Corps, it's like you join any other business. It's their policy, it's their policy. Take it.
What a nice list you've got there, young man.
Join.
Okay.
This fellow says the Marines don't have the right to tell anyone they can't get a tattoo.
They're fighting for a country, so why not? What's ink got to do with it? You know what I mean?
There's a lot, apparently.
Apparently, there you go. All right.
Doesn't really seem like the Marines are in a point to be turning people away. By the way, I read this article the other day. Not only have they raised the maximum enlistment age to 45.
Oh, my.
45. Used to be 42. Now it's 45. But apparently now, there used to be some limit. I have to find a polite way to say this. There used to be a limit to how many idiots they could take in every year. And when I say idiots, they do grade people according to intelligence tests and how far you got in school and what you studied and if you got, like, if you used to, like, sell meth to five-year-olds or whatever. And there was some limit, like only 2% of the military could come from the lowest freaking grade, like the lowest strata of humanity. And I think they've raised it to, like, 18% or something now because they, for some reason, they just can't find anybody to
join. Well, more of those people are reproducing, so there are more than them.
The dumb?
I would think so.
You know, that is true. That is. I would like to see some sort of scientific study about that, like the idiocracy study, to see if that is actually factually true. You know, where the dumb people just breed, just spraying their seed everywhere in a figurative sense. And smart people just, you know, smart people decide just to, you know, they just decide to go see a Woody Allen film instead. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Oregon House has approved a bill requiring climbers to begin carrying beam-emitting electronic locator devices.
Climber?
I barely knew her.
They're hoping to cut down on climbing disasters. This now goes to the Senate for consideration. It was introduced mainly in response to last December's climbing disaster in which 3 out of 8 men perished because they got caught in the blizzard on Mount Hood. Mountaineering groups opposed the bill, but they're idiots anyway. The bill was endorsed by a 33-22 vote. So we'll find out what happens with that.
And this is everybody who climbs on Mount Hood would have to carry the GPS thing with them?
Yes.
But damn straight, man.
All right. That's about freaking time.
They ought to offer it to you. That's the thing. They ought to offer it to you. Because I don't think you can just walk up and start climbing Mount Hood. I mean, there's like some... You think of a permit or something, don't you?
I don't know. I've never been that far.
Me either. I never planned on going
to Multnomah Falls.
It's never.
Is that close?
I drove by Multnomah Falls and then I stopped and I went into the rest stop one time or did a little gift shop to buy myself a corn dog. I think that's about it. I think that there's some sort of. I think if you want to go up Mount Hood, I don't think you can just drive up to the mountain and just get out, you know, your shoes and a pickaxe and just begin scaling up the side. I think you have to, like, go and ask a guy and then he stamps something and then you go up and whatever.
Well, Hey, Mount Hood, sure, go. And he just motions the mountains that way.
He just jerks a thumb over his shoulder. Yeah. It's yonder. All right. There's a curse on that mountain. Here's Tim Riley.
A Salem woman says she was shot in her own driveway after she refused to give up her purse to a thief. Happened around 9 o'clock at the corner of Girth and Franklin, West Salem.
At the corner of Girth?
Yes. Police said the 32-year-old woman, whose name has not been released, was loading some clothes and personal things in her car when a man approached her and demanded her purse. Well, she thought it was a joke and laughed heartily. But within seconds, a man pulled out a gun and shot him in the stomach, shot her in the stomach and took off with her bag.
Who's laughing now?
He's a white male between the ages of 15 and 20 with a medium build, wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt and jeans. She's expected to be okay.
Be back on Girth Street in no time.
So that's that.
Okay.
Then cops caught some guy who took off on foot after leading police on a wild goose chase with speeds reaching 110 miles per hour down Highway 84. James Ruiz, facing serious charges including reckless driving, felony eluding, and leaving the scene of an accident. The chase covered 35 miles until officers put on spikes, causing the driver to lose control, crash into a highway barrier. He took off but left his lady behind. Well, they took this woman, Priscilla Vasquez, who's 19, into custody. And she wasn't well-behaved. She kicked out a window of the patrol car she was riding in, and then she tried to jump out the window. Then when they tried to slap the cuffs on her, she tried to bite the deputy.
Fantastic. I like a woman with spunk.
And that's a spunky gal.
It really is. All right, Rick, let's see. The computerized, I barely knew her voice is a stroke of genius. The only thing that would make me LOL more would be tacking the Cleveland Clinic clown horn on the end. Yeah, that may be overkill, sir. Well, we'll give it a try at some point. John, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Mike, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, babe?
What you got, brother?
Hey, name's for the listener party.
Uh-huh.
Although I've never been, I've listened to everything you've said about him, and I think it could be called Rick Emerson 10, bottle in front of me or frontal
lobotomy. Right.
This is a little plagiarism from Mr. Wade, but
yeah, this is a little bit of armchair naming anyway, because you've not been to a listener party.
But I'm looking forward to this one.
Now what? Now are you going to go to this one, or is that merely a thing you're saying to gratify me temporarily for the moment? So I'll give you.
I have every intention of going to this party, and then I'll follow all the cars with Washington plates and bail them out of jail when they get DUIs.
With what plates?
Washington.
Okay. But you said Washington there for a second, and we were gonna have to find you and sterilize you. Now, why have you not gone in the past, sir?
Just never made it.
All right. Now, did you say that you're a cop?
No, I'm a bail bondsman.
Oh, we've heard from you before.
Of course you have.
You sound a little sinister when you talk about being a bail bondsman. In fact, you sound a little sinister all the time, sir.
I'm sorry.
And
I don't mean to. It's just inbred persona.
Do you think about the things that you say before you say them?
Most.
Uh-huh. We're going to go now.
I thought you might like the name. Have a great show. Have a great day.
Thank you. He sounds a little dejected, but you know, what are you going to do? Here's Tim Riley.
A 38-year-old Tempe woman has been arrested because she talked too much. Tempe Police Sergeant Mike Hearn says Elena Alla's husband called him around 2:30 Monday morning to say his wife had been complaining, yelling, and threatening him for 2 days about some live-in guests who she wanted to leave.
And during the course of this argument, the wife in this case has become much more belligerent, much more aggressive. She'd also been drinking heavily, so alcohol probably played a role in this.
Well, when police arrived, the husband tried to calm the wife down to no avail.
At one point, he goes inside and just attempts to go to bed to get away from the situation. That didn't work. And just continued to spiral out of control and escalate there to everybody in the apartment was being disturbed.
So this is like that story the other day about the guy who shot the wife because she wouldn't shut up.
Well, this is another one of those cases. Apparently, the situation continued to spiral out of control.
Her statements, her actions, clearly we had a violation of state law. And more importantly, this is a situation that if we didn't take enforcement action, this is a situation where in an hour or two we could have come back and dealt with something much more serious, involved someone being physically assaulted or who knows what could have happened.
So they arrested her because she just kept bitching at him?
Yeah.
This is okay. I'm sure like 900 people have forwarded this to like us by now. But that really is like it's just tailor-made for his show. Rick, now people are sending me things that rhyme with placenta. Placenta magenta. Okay. Magenta, let's see. Placenta magenta. Placenta Volvo Penta. Placenta Oscar de la Renta. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for taking the time. Yeah, let's see. This is Melanie. Hi, Melanie. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I've got the perfect subtitle for your listener party after the X or whatever.
Now, when you say perfect, now, like I said, this is the last day we are taking suggestions for the listener party name. At the end of today's program, we're going to come up with what the name is. Now, you say you have the perfect one.
This is the subtitle, like, you know, We Are Not Alone or whatever. We hope we don't get fired.
We hope we don't get, now, is that, with, that's, well, we've had variations.
That's true, because Entercom fired us 4 days after that, last party.
Well, they fired Tim and I 4 days after that.
That's true.
When did they, the most successful listener party ever?
Yeah, they fired me about a month before.
Yeah, they fired Sarah long before the listener party. And then, yeah, and then we had, and then it was at that time. Is she gone? Hello?
I think she thought you put her on hold.
I'm ready. Okay, well,
bye.
It was, at that time, the most successful listener party we'd ever had. It was live on the air. There was like 625 people, I think, 615 people, something like that.
Little did we know they were plotting behind our backs.
Seriously, that was on a Friday. You know, I can't think about that too much because it just makes me angry all over again. So that was on April 15th, which is a Friday, and I'm going to work, and it was less than a week. It was 4 business days later they sacked us. Bunch of bastards. All right. I'm sorry. Not going to get myself off. Not going to let myself go down bitter.
But you were right.
Bitter path with
but
that.
But you were right. Even though it took a while, the station did go Spanish.
It's I you know, that's true. That's true. I did make that prediction, didn't I?
You did.
All right.
So all your predictions do come true.
Yeah, in your face.
All that trouble for nothing. They should have just gone Spanish.
They just kind of should have just cut out the middleman. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so we have to catch up today and do the rest of this Geek Watch that we didn't do yet.
Now, before we play this, I have to say, the pile of watches not gotten to, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like 3/4 of an inch thick. It really is just, it is off the hook, as the kids say. There's so much news. The news happens fast. We could be on the air 25 hours a day, and we wouldn't catch up with all this. So let's go ahead and do this Geek Watch, and then I have a supplemental observation to go with it.
All right.
All right, here's your Geek Watch for Thursday.
Look, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used this
just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but cause we were wondering if the quantum flux... So just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
There it is.
So the headline for this is Real Quickie Marts, Woohoo. 7-Eleven may convert some stores to coincide with the Simpsons movie. It appears as though the world's largest convenience store will get Simpsonized. Although 7-Eleven Incorporated said the deal isn't done yet. But at a company event yesterday, officials showcased their planned promotional efforts for the major upcoming film, including the Simpsons movie.
Now this is a great, if this is true, and do we know that this is true?
Well, no, but we're going to read it anyway.
Fantastic. If it's the real thing, this is the greatest marketing move. This is the best tie-in ever.
Since the Star Wars mailboxes.
Exactly, which is itself great.
Which we doubted.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Which you doubted.
I doubted.
I knew.
Well, if all goes as planned, the convenience store chain plans to refit 11 stores across the U.S., to resemble the print of the Quickie Mart, the convenience store that Homer and other characters frequent in the classic TV show. Customers will also be able to buy products inspired by the nearly 2-decade-old show, including Krusty Old Cereal, Buzz Cola, and Ice Squishies. The cup says squishy, but the contents will be slurpees. The chain will also use pictures of Simpsons characters to promote 7-Eleven's line of fresh foods, such as placing the face of Homer in his classic sandwich quip on sandwich wrappers. Details of the 7-Eleven's plans were shown to employees in a booth at a company event back east. It was unclear which of the 11 stores of the more 4,700 nationwide will receive a cartoony facelift to sell inventory of the Simpsons-inspired products.
Well, there's got to be one. They've got to do it in Portland. There's got to be one. I mean, 11 stores nationwide. So you figure they're going to do New York, L.A. They'll do the top 10 markets. New York, L.A., Chicago, San Francisco. Mm. They've got to do one in Portland, though. How can they not? Also, Homer, talking about Homer putting on his face, reminds me of that. Can anybody make that noise that Homer makes, which is the sort of gurgling spit noise that he makes, the drool that... Do you know that?
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know anybody who can do that.
I can't do that.
That's one of those impressions that nobody can do. Thirdly, do you... bunch of bastards. I don't know how this is possible. They screened They did a secret screening of The Simpsons movie in Portland like 4 days ago.
Without inviting you.
Without inviting me. Thank you for finishing that sentence, Tim Riley. Were you invited?
No.
No,
Sarah. You know better than to invite me to things.
I was invited. I couldn't make it.
Shut your hole. You were not. I was... Okay, I got to stop because I'm going to work myself into a froth about it.
Could this have happened? Who's responsible for this oversight?
I'm going to work myself into a light, creamy lather over it.
You realize how wrong that sounds when you say that?
I'm going to work myself into a bisque.
Sounds like a mad dog.
I know, he's creepy.
I'm going to work myself into a pudding over it. So today is Thursday. I'm pretty sure that the secret screening of The Simpsons movie happened on Sunday. I talked to Court and Fatboy about it. They didn't know about it. And I hate to call him out like this, but Aaron Geek in the City, Duran did not know about it. He is the geek, he is the arbiter of all things geeky in Portland. He didn't know about it. We all found out about it at AintItCool.com, which is sort of the definitive geek movie site. Guy's like, hey, I attended the super secret screening of the Simpsons movie in Portland on Sunday. The guy didn't reveal, we don't know what theater it was at. Matt Groening was apparently there.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that sucks.
Groening was there, and what's his name? Not David X. Cohn. James L. Brooks was there from The Simpsons.
Really?
And then some douche was there. Some jackhole was there. I don't mean to insult you, sir, if you're listening, but come on.
That cannot be allowed to happen again.
So there will be beatings all around. So if anybody knows anything about this, and I'm trying to find out who the guy is on Ain't It Cool that posted the review, because I want to have him on. I want to hear more about it. But they did. Yeah, this has been confirmed. It's not a rumor. They did a screening of The Simpsons. Now, it wasn't finished. It was, how do I put this? It's done, but it's not fully animated. In other words, some of it is still in pencil form. Some of the animation is just very basic. It has to be redone and painted. But the film itself is actually done. The voice work is all done. The sketches are all done. And they showed the entire film in Portland with Matt Groening less than a week ago. And it was just, they somehow kept it secret. The whole thing is just incredibly frustrating.
That's just mean.
It is. Drives me mental is what it does. Let's do one more here. Are we still in the Geek Watch, right?
Yeah, we are.
All right, well, let's continue then.
Well, let's see how I can make it through this one.
High-definition gaming has arrived. Dragon's Lair continues to revolutionize the video game industry by becoming the first game title ever to be released for the Blu-ray disc high-definition format using BD-J. The instant hit of its 1983 arcade debut, Dragon's Lair has now been digitally restored to enhance the all-new 5.1 surround sound mix. The video has been transformed directly from the original film and cleaned frame by frame by Digital Leisure and authoring Studio Infinite HD, creating a truly vibrant image.
Do you know what Dragon's Lair is?
I'm just trying to catch my breath trying to read these sentences. In addition, Dragon's Lair is the first release to be offered in the Blu-ray Java environment, or BD-J, an enhanced format that allows you to enjoy a truly arcade experience.
Why don't you pick one up at the store nearest you?
Thank you. Fantastic. Do we have more Geek Watch, or is that...
I got one more.
All right.
The unfinished book by Lord of the Rings author Tolkien, which completed by his son, will go on sale next month. Children of Huron, which Tolkien began in 1918, will be in bookshops April 17th. The author's son Christopher spent 30 years completing the story. Gee, he must be a slow writer. The publisher, HarperCollins, is keeping exact details of the story under close wraps, like anybody cares, in this epic story of adventure, tragedy, fellowship, and heroism.
I can only pray it's as good as this Silmarillion.
Yeah, The Children of Huron is the first new Tolkien book since the collection of his works. The Silmarillion was released in 1977, 4 years after the writer's death.
Beware crap that you were sort of noodling on during your life being finished by your jackal relatives once you're dead. By your son, who apparently can't get a real job doing anything, and so he just digs around in your steamer trunk in the basement looking for little scraps of paper you left and then fleshing them out into full-length novels, thus completing J.R.R. Tolkien's transformation from pinnacle author to the V.C. Andrews of the geek world. So, I swear to God, when I get ready to die, I'm going to burn everything I own. I'm going to burn everything I own, I'm going to delete everything I have, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to, like, it's like when you hear about those people that And they specify, like, please, if I die, don't resuscitate me. No, don't put me on life support, nor no extraordinary measures to keep me alive. And then their a-hole families just jam a tube into their throat and just keep them alive and draining everybody's finances for 8 years. I'm just going to get a thing tattooed in my chest that just, like, no. Just says no in big letters. Same thing. Wasn't it Fred Astaire? They stuck his dead ass into a commercial with a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, yeah.
That's just wrong. He can't do that. So, and even as great as Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow was, poor Laurence Olivier, who's dead, and they're putting them into the movie. Thank God it was Sky Captain. Thank God it wasn't like a freaking Turner and Hooch 4 with Sir Laurence Olivier. I mean, I'm going to put a whole thing in my will that anybody tries to do that, there's going to be consequences. All right. Well, there you go. There's your triple or whatever geek watch. Oh, we haven't even talked about the Harry Potter book.
Oh.
My Grandstar's hammer.
Hammer them.
Sons of Warband. I shall avenge you.
Back after this.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.